read 1 Thessalonians, the first several verses of chapter 5 this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1, if you're following along, where Paul is continuing and says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore," and then he gives this very similar phrase, one very similar to what he's already given, "wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Now, what I want to begin with this morning, and I need to get the proper note here, is as I've read chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And the part of this, the beginning of these messages now, will be the day of the Lord. Now, the reason I say the day of the Lord is, guess why? Well, that's what it's called, right? The day of the Lord. But mainly in verses 1 through 3, that's the first part of this. And that is the events here with the day of the Lord, and I'm stating it this way, the events pertaining to humanity at large. Paul's already talked about what's going to happen to us.
Yes, sir.
Now he's going to talk somewhat, in very limited detail, but he's going to speak about what's going to happen to they. That's what he called, right? Them is the more appropriate English, but he says they. Now, according to the Apostle Paul here, he says the day of the Lord, verses 1 through 3, will come upon them. Right? The day of the Lord will come upon them. But I want to stop here for a moment. I want to kind of review, but show how this is, or try to show, how this is all tied together. What we have seen so far is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in the air. Nothing is said here about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the earth. Right? Because not only is he going to come in the air, but those, when he comes in the air, those who have died in Christ, those who are dead in Christ, as he says here, those who sleep in Jesus, will be raised. They will be raised first. First in what sense? Before the living believers, before the believers who remain, those who are believers who are alive, the dead believers will be raised, and then the living believers will be caught up together with them. Where? In the air. And isn't that what that says? Am I giving you my opinion, or am I giving you what the Bible says? It's what the Bible says, doesn't it? And remember, it is the dead in Christ will be raised first, not first before everybody else, because no one else is said to be raised here. Right? Now someone would say, well, maybe they'll be raised, but it's just not spoken of. Well, let's just deal with that a moment. Let's say here that the Apostle Paul is speaking about a general resurrection of all mankind at the end. So then when are the lost dead raised? If the lost dead are raised when the saved dead are raised, then the saved living are still on the earth while they're all resurrected, right?
Yeah.
If they're resurrected at the same time, if the resurrection of the just and the unjust takes place at the same time, then the unjust would have to be raised when the just are, right? You following me so far? We know clearly from this text that the living just, the saved, those who are, remember, alive and remain, not just remain, but are alive and remain, shall then be caught up. So then what about those who are still living but lost? Are they then killed in the great conflagration spoken of by Peter? Peter mentions a great conflagration to come, right? Immediately after which, Job, the new heavens and the new earth are ushered in, right?
Yeah.
So then what are they? Are they then killed in the conflagration and then they are raised? I don't care how you look at the scripture, you've got to have a resurrection that has different parts to it.
Exactly.
It can't all happen at one time and be in accord with what the book says.
Yeah.
You either have to have the lost dead raised in two different times, right? Or the lost dead not raised at all at this time and raised later. Because it won't work here, does it? And remember, this is not Paul's opinion. And this ain't some premillennialist opinion. This is, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. The dead in Christ will be raised first, and we know that we will be immediately, whoever's alive then, I say we, I don't know if it's me or not, but whatever believers are alive at that time will be then immediately transformed, right? 1 Corinthians 15 says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, both will be changed. The dead in Christ will be raised, they'll be changed. We'll immediately, whoever's alive in Christ then shall be immediately changed. And both shall be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. And it says, in the air. It specifically says that, so that's where we'll meet him, not on the earth. Right? But then Paul says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, let me read these three again. For yourselves know perfectly. In other words, Paul is saying, you already know this very well. Right? That the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, now here, who's they? It's not the dead in Christ. They're with Christ, because remember, he's going to bring them with him. Right? It's not those who are alive and remain, because he's distinguishing between we who are alive and remain, because he says we, it includes himself.
Yes,
because Paul didn't know. Right? We which are alive. So they is who? Everyone who is unregenerate at this time. So when they shall say, peace and safety. Now, I don't think Paul here is referring to one specific instance of time when the unregenerate will begin to cry peace and safety. But Paul is saying that there will be a time, or when this happens, when the day of the Lord begins. And that's the only way to put it. When the day of the Lord begins, humanity at large, everyone except for those who are regenerated, will be crying peace and safety. Paul's not saying they're going to think there's peace and safety. There may be wanting peace and safety. Look at our world today. There is no peace, is there? There is no safety, is there? And men think it's bad. Now, you heard what I said, don't you? Men think, now I'm not saying it's not bad at all. Okay? It's despicable. It's horrendous. Right? You've probably seen that on the news, where those 90, most of them, a lot of them were younger folks, were killed by that idiot, terroristic, evil individual. Right? Slaughtered at least 90 people that they know of so far. Just Joe on a whim. Just to try to prove some asinine point, okay? But according to our Lord's own words, there's coming a time upon this earth that this time right now cannot be compared to. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
No, let's turn back there. Matthew chapter 24. These are Christ's words. These are not the words of someone trying to find out what kind of eschatology is the truth. These are the words of him who purposed what eschatology is.
Yes, sir.
He's the one who purposed these things. Now look at it, just verse 21, just this one verse. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So it's going to be the worst time on this that this world will ever see. That is called by the Apostle Paul the day of the Lord. And when men will cry, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, first of all, you ask the question, is there a break in Paul's thoughts here? That's because of verses 1 and 2. And it's mainly because of this one word, but. Now, there are those who say that the day of the Lord has nothing to do with the resurrection and catching up of believers. Okay? The day of the Lord is totally separate. As a matter of fact, there are those of the premillennial ilk who say that the day of the Lord has to do only with what Peter mentions in 2 Peter chapter 3. The great conflagration at the end of time when this world and its works will be burned up and a new heaven and earth will come into being. Now that is clear, that's the day of the Lord. Because Peter says so. But he says the day of the Lord, and then Peter says in the which. Doesn't he? Well, let's read it just so we see this is not Walter's interpretation of it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, but somewhat for the context here, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord a thousand years, and 1,000 years as one day. This does not mean God does not relate to time. God created time. God purposed time. It's not to even say that God did not bind time to his purpose. Now, I didn't say his purpose to time, as he bound time to his purpose. But God does not see things like we see things. That's what Peter's saying here. God in himself is not bound by time. He's the eternal God. Now look, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. In other words, why has it been... And Peter's even people were even thinking that back then. Why has it been so long? And it hadn't been but what? Just a few years, right? Wasn't even 100 AD yet, you know? And everybody said, well, the Lord's delaying his coming. The Lord's slack. Where is the promise of his coming? And Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he is long-suffering to usward. The reason it has been this long is because there are people God has purposed to save before he returns. Okay? But look, because we know, and let me be more particular. There are people that God has been pleased to convert before he comes. Because he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Right? And isn't that what Paul says? So they're talking about the same time, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Right? We're talking about the same time, but look at what Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens and earth shall pass away. And most people say, oh, well, see right there it says when Christ comes again, that immediately the heavens and earth will pass away. That's not what it says. He says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in the day of the Lord the heavens and earth will pass away. There is no reference to any specific time other than this. The Lord's not bound by our comprehension of time. Right? That's the context. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens and earth shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth and also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy manner of life? That's what that means. Conversation and godliness. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. But is that, are we looking just for everything to end? No. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved brethren, see that you look for such things. Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that it may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. And he says, Paul talked about this very same thing.
Yeah.
And some things are hard to be understood.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are people who've tried to simplify it and make it all a one-time, all-in-the-end event, but it just simply is not so by the Word of God.
Exactly.
Because when those who have been brought to repentance now, when Christ comes back in the air, those who have died in Christ and gone on, he'll bring back with them. Those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. They will be with the Lord. And then what takes place? Immediately, what takes place? The day of the Lord. Now, here's the thing. This word but is literally but of, actually, but of the times and the seasons. Can be literally translated as but concerning. That's what the word of means. And Paul says, but concerning the times and the seasons. This word but, that, remember what I said last Sunday, that small but mighty conjunction. This word but does denote a shift in thought.
Yes,
that's the very meaning of the word but. Okay? It denotes a shift in thought, a shift in point, or a shift in aim. Right? When you say but, you're making a distinction.
Exactly.
Right? When we see you use the word but, you're distinguishing either one thing from another, or you're distinguishing different parts of one thing.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now this word, as I said, denotes a shift in thought or point or aim or a distinction between one thing or another thing. This is the question. Does Paul here begin to talk about a totally different subject or an additional but connected subject? The whole point is it's an additional but connected subject. When Christ comes back in the air, that's when the day of the Lord starts.
Yes, sir.
No matter what. And somebody said, well, Peter said that, but Paul said this.
Yes, sir.
So we have to take not what Peter said. Why do people take what Peter said or Paul said and then try to translate it by what Peter said?
Exactly.
Huh? Why don't they take what Paul said and then translate what Peter said? See, the point is, y'all not do either one. You ought to take what both said, because no prophecy is of any private interpretation. You don't take one prophecy, and what most people do, they take the prophecy they like best, that most fits their opinion, and then they then fit everything into that opinion. That's what men do. That's what even some of God's people do. And I think Paul mentions that, and I don't jump too far ahead, but Paul says that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. You might be wrong on this issue, but if you're in Christ, you're okay.
Yes, sir.
Huh? So I got to jump ahead here a little bit. To wake or sleep, does Paul mean it's all right for us to go out and get drunk? Go out and party? Go out and rob banks? As long as we're in Christ, David, it don't matter. Is that what he's talking about? No. He illustrates those who are asleep. What's that mean? They're not looking for the coming of the Lord. That's the whole context, right? They're drunk. They're partying. They're getting down because this is it. That's all there is to it. But God's people are not like that. And doesn't he say, you're not like that?
Exactly.
But God's people can sleep concerning this. Huh? Yeah. And let me tell you, sadly, in our day, it seems, among places where grace is taught, that the last part of salvation is just mentioned and that no details are ever given. Did you know without the coming of our Lord, the salvation we have now for us is nothing more than miserable?
Exactly.
Because the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, salvation is not 5 points. It's a whole lot more than 5 points.
Right.
A person is not preaching all the gospel in detail unless they're preaching the details of the coming of our Lord. Because that's a part of our salvation. And the text says so.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't die for us just to regenerate us so we could persevere. Persevere for what?
Yeah.
Huh? Persevere for what? Well, just to get to go to heaven. Oh, that's okay. So all, you don't need any more detail than that. Well, God regenerates and converts for what? Well, you don't need any details. As long as it happens. Huh? No, God's given us the details of both.
Yes, sir.
Our present salvation and our future salvation.
Yes.
And Paul says, you don't be ignorant of this. Right? And as I said before, the main reason I am preaching upon this is because there are people who abuse this truth. Okay? But then there are also people who mock this truth. And they ought to be ashamed because they ought to know better. Because as Paul said, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is God's truth. So here, again the question. Does Paul here begin the question? Is he talking about a totally different subject? The whole context flows together, doesn't it? When Christ comes to get us, he's again going to what? Begin to pour out judgment on they. Right? That's the context, right? As immediately, Joe, as he takes us up, just as immediately, judgment begins to fall on the inhabitants of this earth. And that's what the book of the Revelation talks about. That's the majority of the book of the Revelation, isn't it? What takes place during the wrath of the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
Right? It's called the wrath of the Lamb. We usually think about the mercy of the Lamb, Joe. The grace of the Lamb, and rightfully so.
Yes,
we think about the compassion of the Lamb, and rightfully so. But remember, the same event that is to our salvation will be to the sudden destruction of they. Of they. It's just like where Paul says here, but of the times and the seasons. He didn't say, notice he did not say, but concerning the day of the Lord, I have no need to write to you. Did he? Because he is writing to us about the day of the Lord.
Exactly.
He says, but concerning the times and the seasons. Why? There are chronos and kairos that are to take place during the day of the Lord. Times and seasons.
Yes, sir.
But to discuss it is of no avail because that day will start. It will come. He says, come. Right? As a thief in the night. Unexpected to who? They.
Yeah, exactly.
But not unexpected to we.
Yeah.
Huh? We. Now there are those who say, well, believers will go through that time. That's not what this says. That's not what it says. It says we are to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. What's a hope? I hope something you don't see yet. If you've already seen it, if you've already experienced it, it's not hope, Paul says. Romans 8, right? If you've already got it, why do you yet hope for it? That's stupid.
Yeah, very much.
To wish for a bicycle for Christmas and after you got it, wish you still had it? No, make no sense, does it? No, it's for a helmet, the hope of salvation. What's salvation? Chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And look, for God hath not appointed us to what? Wrath. What wrath? Hail? Is that what he's talking about? Is he talking about hail? No. Lake of fire? No, that's not the context. That's not. Now, we're not appointed to that. Joe, like you was talking about last. Both these things are true. We're not appointed to hail. We're not appointed to the lake of fire, but that's not the context here. We're not appointed to what wrath? This wrath that's coming on they.
Exactly.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Well, that's just your opinion about the future. No, that's God's work of salvation through Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, and he died for us to make sure this is so.
Amen.
That's an interpolation, but it's still the truth. I basically summarized this whole passage I read to you. That's what happens. But we need to look at the details. Remember, it's just like where Paul says, but of the times and the seasons. Think about it. The but concerning is connected to the times and the seasons, not the day of the Lord. In other words, Paul has shifted from a singular event for believers to a statement about the lack of need for discussing the chronos and kairos. What does that mean? Chronos means this. It even sounds familiar, don't it, if you think of chronology? Right? Chronos and kairos. Chronos means the duration of time associated with a certain subject. How long it shall last. Paul said there's no need to even talk about that. We just know it's going to happen as a thief in the night. Now somebody said, well, automatically, then nobody can talk about it. No, Paul says, I got no need to talk about it. John talked about it. Because John was given the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You see. Paul didn't say it's wrong to talk about it. He said, I got no need. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You know this is going to come as a thief in the night. And the whole point is, it ain't going to overtake you.
That's right.
Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
Now, if it's going to happen to us too, it's going to overtake you.
Yeah.
Now, somebody said, this don't mean it'll overtake you in the end. If it said that, I'd preach that. But it ain't what it says, does it?
Exactly.
It ain't what it says. He says, we're not appointed to wrath.
Yeah.
Paul is, so I say, as I said, he's discussing the chronos and the kairos. Chronos has to do with the duration of time. Chronology. It's where we get our word chronology from. It's talking about the duration of time associated with a subject. But then kairos are any certain features or events or epochs. You know what I mean? Like great event, that something, Joe, that happens that you can say, that's it right there. You know, that's a kairos. That's an epoch. Okay? It's some great event. Paul said, there's no need that I write unto you because this day is going to happen. This day is going to come as a thief in the night. In other words, Paul does shift thought about peoples and events. Get it? He's saying now he talks about us still yet, granted, but he talks about what's going to happen to us first. And when what happens to us first, then this is going to happen to they.
Yes, sir.
That's the context. Yeah. See, I have to go through this just like I would Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 9. Yeah. Paul means what he says. And every word is important. I'm not going to deal with every word. That would be too tedious for me and you both. Because you can read this. And all you got to do is read this and bow down to this. And this will speak for itself. All I'm doing is hitting some of the highlights. And that's about all I can do as a preacher. We have the Word of God. You don't need me. What you need is the Word of God. But I tell you what else we need is God to bow us to the Word of God. And not our opinion. There's a fellow wrote, Paul told you I was going to mention this. A fellow wrote an email to me, but he sent it through Paul's. I don't have email, and I'm glad I don't have email. Sometimes. I wasn't talking about you, Mary. But there are times I'm glad I don't have email. But anyway, he sent me an email through Paul, and he starts out, I am not pre-meal. And why everybody going to say pre-meal? Why can't they write the whole word out? I guess that's our day and age. Everything's short and sweet, ain't it? Except for your paycheck. Well, that's short and sweet, too. Nevertheless. He said, I'm not pre-meal. Now, what was the next words, Paul? Help me. I simply don't care for the time. No, the timing. I simply don't care for the timing. Now, let me tell you something. It ain't up to his care about the timing. Now, granted, this is the fringe edge. I'm not pre-meal, but I simply don't care for the timing. Well, God don't care about our timing either.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what saith the Lord. But there are people like that. I just don't like it because it don't fit my timing. There were people that didn't like the timing of the first coming of the Lord either. Nor the Kronos and the Kairos of it either, Joe. Did they? But you know what? In the Old Testament, it was prophesied word for word. When it said he would be born in Bethlehem, we can't say, well, we know God ain't going to be born. So that's got to be spiritual.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you know, we know a virgin can't conceive and have a child. Right? That's got to be spiritual.
Yeah.
What was it? It meant it word for word.
Exactly.
You know? It even speaks of him leaving, being born in Bethlehem, Joe, but not living there. But living in another place, doesn't it? You see, you interpret future prophecy just like you interpret prophecy that's past. The same way. Same way. And if the scripture, if there's a prophecy that is symbolic of something, and it is that important that we must know what it is, the book will tell us what it is.
Yes, sir.
And if it don't, then we need to quit speculating. Everybody does.
Exactly.
Paul and I were talking about this. They say, oh boy, people like you, they always like to, you know, include me in the middle of it. You premillennials, y'all like to just, y'all just get caught up with eschatology and future events. And you speculate. And then what do these people do when they go to the book of the Revelation? Oh, they do speculate. Well, this don't mean that. It means something else. And they don't say it means something else. They say it means something else.
Right.
Now, let me tell you, unless God's Word says this is what it means, then you better just leave it for what it is. Leave it there. Sadly, the truth is, or the facts are this, men won't even leave it there. Men are so prone, this is what I believe, and this is what I'm going to hold to, no matter what. Now, I am premillennial, but let me tell you, my premillennialism has changed since God Almighty opened my eyes and began to show His Word to me.
Yes, sir.
Because what I've been trying to give you all is what this book says, even if I can't fit it in nice little neat packages for you. Right? Anytime I have speculated, I've told you that's my speculation. Mary, just like we were talking about, when shall this son of perdition, when shall this Antichrist, okay? When's he going to be in the temple? We're not told. We're just told it'll be there. We're not told when. The beginning of it, the middle of it, whenever. It'll be before the middle. But it don't tell us where. So again, let's get back to it. Paul says concerning the Kronos and the Kairos, there's no need that I write to you. He's not changing subjects. He's talking about a different part of the same subject. And isn't that what he does like in Ephesians? You'll see this illustrated in Ephesians. It's a different, not a different truth, but it's a different aspect of the truth. And you'll see this. Look at it. Just look at that. And you, as it quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that is our way of life in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now we know what that's talking about. That's talking about total depravity, isn't it? And it's talking about our total depravity. Not just they, but all of us.
Exactly.
Our total depravity. And what does he say next? What's the next word? But God. But is he talking about a totally different subject? Or another part of the same subject? He's talking about the wherefore from the why.
Yes,
but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 saying Christ is coming back to get every one of us.
Yes, sir.
That is a believer.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But there will be people left when we're gone.
Yes, sir.
And what's going to happen to them? The day of the Lord will come upon them. That's the context.
Yes,
Paul's not going here from the resurrection and rapture. That's right. It's a good word. There's nothing wrong with that word rapture. The resurrection and rapture of the saints. And then, all right, now we're going to a totally different subject, the day of the Lord. For us, it's not the day of the Lord. For us, it's salvation.
Exactly.
But for they, it's what? Sudden destruction.
Exactly.
Now somebody automatically says, ah, see right there, I got you. It says sudden destruction. No, if you got anybody, you got God. And let me tell you, you don't got God.
Exactly.
You don't got God. But you know what? I'm not even going to talk about that word yet. It don't mean sudden annihilation.
Exactly.
This word destruction never, ever is used of annihilation. There are words in the Greek for annihilation.
Yes, sir.
This word's never used for annihilation. See, now I want to get, should I go ahead and give it to you? You take a pot, you drop a pot, it's supposed to hold water. You get a crack in that pot, Joe, and it won't hold water. That pot is what? Ruined. It's destroyed. That pot still exists. It's still there. But it's ruined. That's the word. Sudden ruin.
Yes, sir.
We'll look at that in more detail later. No, again, let me give it to you. Paul's not talking about the time duration here or any certain features or events or epochs associated with the subject. The subject now being what is to happen to they when that day comes. You see, the day of the Lord for us is the day of His coming to get us. The day of the Lord for them is ruin, destruction. It's just as sudden for them as it'll be for us. Only it won't overtake us. Now, think about this. In other words, Paul does not shift thought about people's... Paul does shift thought about people's and the event. One is salvation. The other is judgment. Right? And one is saved people. The other is what? Lost people. Right? So in other words, Paul does shift thought about people's and events. But there's nothing here to distinguish them time and feature-wise. In other words, what great epoch is going to happen so we'll know the day of the Lord's happened? I'll tell you the great epoch, when Christ comes back and gets us. And if He's got you, you're going to be with Him. If He ain't, you're going to go through it. And you won't escape. That's the epoch. That's the great event. That kicks it all off, as you will. Because He said, times and seasons. So don't come to me and say, well, it's just one great big conflagration. Bing, bang, boom, everybody dies. And, well, wait a minute. Not everybody's supposed to die. But anyway, we're all supposed to be raised. Well, we're supposed to be raised together, but let me tell you, it don't fit.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you what, this fits.
Yes,
this fits, don't it? Because God says this is the way it is. And it fits when you take the word to say what it means. Another thought. These are two separate yet connected events, we could say. I give you the illustration of Noah. And remember, Peter says there were 8 souls saved by water. That is a metaphor. The ark's what saved them.
Yeah.
Right? The ark's what saved them. Because they were in the ark. But they were what? Because that water, Joe, they were lifted up above. Wasn't they?
Yes,
they were up here while the judgment was taking place where? Down here.
Right.
What does this teach? We're going to be caught up there. Right?
Yes, sir.
While the judgment begins to take place what? Down here.
Exactly.
There's you a symbol. There's you a figure. There's you a type. And of that day of the hour, knew no man but the Lord. Nobody knew until God put Noah in the ark, God shut the door. What now? God shut the door. Somebody said it didn't immediately go up. We will. See, types and symbols have their failures. The truth stands. We're going to meet. When Christ comes, there's going to be what? A shout. The voice of the archangel. And the trump of God. When that happens, the dead in Christ will raise first. And we know, according to 1 Corinthians 15, that's going to be like that.
Yes, sir.
Because it says that we both, some are going to be dead, we'll be raised. Others will be living. We will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Like that. That's it. And then both of us will go up together.
Yes, sir.
And what happens? Our Lord is there in the air, then bringing down his judgments. What judgment? Let's look at it. I'm not going to say this is the beginning of it, but this is the first place into the revelation we hear of it. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Verse 12, and I beheld when it opened the sixth seal. Now, let me say, no, there is no resurrection here. There is no rapture here. None of that is spoken of here, but we're going to see the wrath of God Almighty here, aren't we? And I beheld, and when he'd opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now notice it says as blood. It didn't say it became blood. It lets us know, Mason, this is a metaphor of a phenomena that's going to be apparent. The stars of heaven fell into the earth, even the fig tree. Now wait a minute. If this all happens at the end, wouldn't we see this happening, whoever's alive? Every believer that's alive then? Huh? Now take this and apply it to what Paul said. There ain't no need to talk about the Kronos and the Kairos. But John is now talking about the Kronos. He's given just time frames as well, doesn't he? One seal, two seal, one after another, not one with another. He opens one seal, this happens, David. Opens another seal, this happens. Is that what it says? So who do you believe, me or what this says? You believe what this says, right? I happen to believe what that said, but see, you don't believe any man, believe what this says. Look, and the stars fell from the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man. If they're going to know this is something from God, they're going to repent, right? They're going to straighten up. Now, that might be what the Arminians think. But when you know you're dead, that all men are dead in trespasses and in sins, it takes more than supernatural phenomena to convert a person. Look, what do? They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from what? The wrath of the Lamb.
Amen.
For the great day of his wrath, what? Is come. Now, according to Paul, if the great day of God... Now, somebody said, don't say God. The Lamb is God. Away with these things. Well, that's the day of Christ. This is the day of the Lord. This is that day and this day. Christ is the Lord. Christ is God. It's simply talking about different aspects of it, but it's still the same day, the same God, the same Christ. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? But what does Paul tell us? We're not appointed to that. Right? Because he talked about the day of the Lord. Right? And we're not appointed to the wrath. That's what he says, 1 Thessalonians 4. And 5. Therefore, any certain time periods, and remember it's periods. Why? Because all of these times and seasons are to take place. You see? David, if the day of the Lord is all just one great judgment at the end, these things still have to take place. Right? Because the book says so. And this great day of his wrath, can that be any other day than that day Christ spoke of? That was going to be like no other day? What other day is there mentioned in Scripture? What other details is worse than what you read from chapter 6 all the way up to about chapter 19? None. You know? In one foul swoop, a third of Earth's population will be wiped out. The tsunami, as terrible as it was over yonder in Sumatra, wherever it was, it's going to pale in comparison to that day. Right?
Exactly.
What Christ said. That ain't what the premillennialist Walter says. That's what Christ says. So then, sum up the first three verses. Therefore, any certain time periods, plural, right? Times. And seasons. There are. Why? Because there are times and seasons.
Yes, sir.
Right? There is a chronology and great events during that chronology. Paul didn't say they don't exist. That's why I don't have to mention them. No, because when it starts, you're going to be gone. Got no need. That day's going to overtake them, but it ain't going to overtake you.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I am glad for that. And somebody, and then I've heard people, well, why should you not have to go through it, but they got to go through it? I guess you missed grace altogether then, ain't you?
Exactly.
Or do you know grace,
yeah,
but just haven't yet bowed to the particular nature of God's salvation in all things?
Exactly.
Remember what I told you last Sunday? Everything God does for His people is particular, even the resurrection.
Yes, sir.
The resurrection for God's people is particular. Now, somebody said, yeah, but you got people being raptured here and there. Well, I'll tell you what. The Scripture speaks of the first one that was ever raptured, and that was Enoch. Scripture speaks of the second one that was ever raptured, and that was Elijah. Am I right? The Scripture speaks of the third that's going to be raptured. That's going to be every believer up to the point of the second coming of Christ. Old Testament and New. I'm just going to state that, Mason, for the record, but not go into that. Okay, that's the third one. Wait a minute, there's another one. You remember there's two witnesses in Jerusalem that are going to be killed, and their dead bodies are going to lay in the street for 3 days. And then after 3 days, they are going to be what? Raised from the dead, and guess what? Raptured.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says. Caught up unto God. Let me tell you, God can rapture somebody anytime He wants to. He can rapture an individual, a large group of individuals, or a couple at a time. That's His business. Somebody said, well, this has got to be one resurrection. Wait a minute, there's already been a resurrection of the just. When Christ was raised from the dead, Matthew, I think one of the writers, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, one of them says that many, not all, but many of the saints who slept did what? Come out of the graves and walked around showing themselves to people.
Yes, sir.
You see, God does what He wants, when He wants, with whom He wants. And men need to bow down and quit trying to say, this is what it don't fit my time frame. It don't fit my timing.
Exactly.
It don't fit what I think. It doesn't matter what we think.
Exactly.
It matters what God says.
Yes,
and I'm here to say that I'm not just a 5-point Calvinist. I'm at least a 6-pointer. Because I believe there's still a salvation to come that we haven't experienced yet, and it's just as important to me, and the details are just as important to me. Why? Because God gave them to us in this book.
Yes, sir.
Didn't He? And I know, 5-pointerism is not the great epoch of salvation. The great epoch is when we're like Christ, and we see Him as He is. That's the epoch. I don't want to stay here forever. Do you? Now, this is great. It's a whole lot better than what I had when I was unregenerate.
Yes, sir.
Right? But if this is all it is, when I've been promised a lot more than that, then this is not a lot. And doesn't Paul even say that? Well, he says the sufferings of this world are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
I will be done with sin. I will be done with me.
Exactly.
I will be perfect.
Yeah.
I would like to be perfect now, but you know what God says? No.
Yeah.
Doesn't He? That's what He says. He says everybody thinks God wants us to be perfect now. No! God never commands us to be perfect, that is, sinless now. It's not even something He commands His people to do. Now, the law commands you to be perfect. But aren't you glad you don't have to depend on the law? And let me tell you, this thing I'm talking about, Christ coming to get us, it's a part of the work of Christ's death.
Yes, sir.
So therefore, people who claim to be 5-pointers, if they're not preaching the return of the Lord for His people, they better at least preach that. They better at least be declaring that. You know why? Because they're leaving out one of the points. Aren't they? Now granted, as I told you, Paul tells us here that some believers will sleep in chapter 5. But that's a different kind of sleep from chapter 4. It's a whole different Greek word. That's the whole point. Now let me just give you a summary here. My time. No, my time ain't up. That's right. I got all kinds of time. No, seriously. Remember, the day of the Lord, don't think of it as just one event. There are epochs. There are seasons in it. Okay? Times and seasons. There is a chronology to it. Paul says so. Right?
Yes, sir.
He says it there. He just says there's no need for me to write to you about it. You know it's going to come as a thief in the night, but it's not going to catch you. Now, here's a summary. Paul says that all believers will meet Christ in the air one day. And when that takes place, then the day of the Lord will come upon the rest of the world. That's what it teaches there, right there in black and white before us. I don't have to mix things around. I've went by the context. Because it says all of this is what who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should what? Not just be saved. Not just be regenerated, Joe, and converted, does it? But what? Live together with Him. He died on that cross so that one day I would actually be with Him.
Yes, sir.
And He promised that to us right before He left.
Yeah, exactly.
It was several days before He died, He promised that. He told the disciples, if I go, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And He said, I'm going to sum up, if I go away, did He? Yeah. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
Now somebody said, well, what about you? You say all these people are going to go into the day of the Lord. Are they all going to be damned? Nope. Nope. Well, somebody said, well, that ain't fair. Why does God do this for us and not for them? Why did God do for us what He's doing now and not for the Old Testament saints?
Exactly.
Why didn't He let Christ come right in the beginning?
Yeah.
Right after the fall? Why? Because He wasn't pleased to. That wasn't His times and seasons. It wasn't the way He purposed to do it, was it? Why did He wait so long? God didn't wait at all. It's all happening according to His times and seasons. In the fullness of time, Christ came. And in the fullness of time, He will come again. And He will receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also, but some of our brothers and sisters will not be converted at that time. That's right. Some will go on into that time, but God will save even them. Isn't that what the Revelation says? I guess, is that salvation spiritual too? All salvation is spiritual. Even the change of my body, this vile body, this corruptible body, mortal body will be changed. Joe, that's a physical, literal thing.
Yes, sir.
But it's still a spiritual thing.
Yes,
so here's the summary. Paul says that all believers will meet Christ in the air one day. And that when that takes place, the day of the Lord will come upon the rest of the world. But to discuss the duration of times associated with this and any outstanding features is of no need, since the first event immediately precedes the second. When He comes and takes us up, resurrected, you know, dead or living, whichever one, what happens then? The day of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
That's the only event we need to be concerned about.
Yes.
It doesn't mean, Paul not saying it's wrong to talk. That's the event that matters, is that one.
Exactly.
Think about these distinctions. Called up, who's that for? Believers only. That's the only people God's ever called up so far.
Yes, sir.
And no unbeliever, no reprobate, no person who's not elect will ever be called up. Because they all will finally in the end be killed. Revelation 19 said they're going to compass the camp of the saints. Fire is going to come down from God out of heaven and devour them. Then what's immediately next? The great white throne judgment. Then what's immediately next? I, John, saw the new heaven and the new earth come down from God out of heaven.
Amen.
Right there it is. Right there it is. Called up, believers only. Day of the Lord, they. The rest. Sudden destruction, they. The rest. Salvation, being with Christ, believers only. They, the rest, overtaken. Believers, not overtaken. They, the rest, drunken. Believers, sober. They, the rest, what? Unaware. Believers, what? Watchful. Isn't that what he says? These are the distinctions made here. Everything God does when it comes to salvation is distinguishing. It's particular. Let me tell you something. We are the particular people. Us people who's preaching this, believing this truth, we're the ones teaching the particular nature of everything God does for his people. The only ones. And I will stand on the word of God with that. People who talk about a general resurrection for all men, where's it at in the Bible? You're not going to find it. It ain't there. You will find the general resurrection. And you don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. Just like having a general call. You know about the general call, don't you? We've all been taught that, right? Let me tell you, the general call never saves you. It's the particular call that saves you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the general call doesn't do anything but inform you. It's the particular call that saves you. It's always God's particular work that does the saving.
Yes,
always.
Sir.
Believers, so they the rest unaware. Believers, watchful. They the rest are of the night and of darkness. Believers, of day and of the light. They the rest, wrath.
Yes, sir.
Believers, saved by Christ.
Amen.
Saved by Christ. Now, here's the thing. Let me just add this. For those who are still here, when the day of the Lord commences on this earth, but are yet elect of God, they will not experience God's wrath. They will see and experience many of the difficulties and the judgments that will come upon the world, even as we do today. Whenever God brings a great flood, does he just do it on unregenerate people? Huh? But what does he do for his people during? He saves us, at least in here to start with. Same thing God will continue to do right to the end. The associations are this, of these two chapters. Well, there, I read one fellow, he said, right here is a perfect place for chapter break because it's a totally different subject. That's nonsense. You know why? Just because the day of the Lord being connected with the resurrection and rapture of the saints, of believers, okay, doesn't fit his scheme. And he's a premillennialist. It just doesn't fit his scheme, so he didn't like that. Paul connects it right here, doesn't he? Right here it's connected. The associations are different aspects of one coming. And I don't know that people see this. Somebody says, I mean, I've heard it. Say, I heard it on a tape one time. These premillennialists. They always call the premillennialists the premillennialists, but everybody else said to say people that believe differently. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Not always, but they do like to do that. I heard a fellow one time make fun, said these people who believe that Christ died on the cross because them Jews wouldn't let him reign over Palestine. That's mockery.
Yeah.
Now, there may be people in this world that believe Jesus died just because the Jews wouldn't let him reign over Palestine, but that's not what this book teaches. And you can believe that Jesus will reign in Palestine and yea, over the whole earth one day, on this earth one day, and you don't have to believe all the lies that people tell. There are people who somehow believe you can't believe in free grace and be a millennialist, killiestic. And you know what? The majority of the early church was.
Exactly.
Majority of them. Different aspects of one coming. There were many aspects to Christ coming. In one place it says, your Lord shall come riding upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Wait a minute. How could he have been coming? How could he have been the one born in Bethlehem, Mason? Because there's many different parts or aspects or facets to his coming.
Exactly.
Just like there is to his second coming. God always does things in a very similar manner. Do you know that?
Yeah.
All those, you know, the flood, that's the flood, David. That's, you think, well, that wasn't that worse? No, because they just all died. Within how many days was it? That the all it is so many days, the tallest mountain, it says, was covered. Well, let me tell you, you can only bob so long.
Exactly.
Can't you? Those folks died. And, Mary, this might answer your question. Those folks, those people who are the elect of God, who will have to go through that time, will be glad it's only 7 years long. That it's shortened. Remember, our Lord said, except those days were shortened. It doesn't mean there were 7 years and that God's got a limit to make it 6.5. 7 years is shortened.
Exactly.
It is. 7 years is in God's purpose. It's nothing. It's nothing. Different aspects of one coming. Christ comes in the air. He saves us. Then what? Sudden destruction comes. Isn't that what that says? Sudden destruction comes. Destruction, and I'll put it this way. It begins. Because there's a lot to take place on the face of this earth. It's in the book of the Revelation. Woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Isn't it? But there'll be some people who won't be inhabiting the earth. They'll be inhabiting the air. For 7 years, let me tell you, 7 years in the air with Christ is better than 100 down here. Huh? Well, what are we going to do? Who cares?
Exactly.
What are you going to do on the new heaven and earth for eternity? You know? To be with Christ is enough.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? No matter where you're at.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something. Nothing else does justice to Paul's words here. Other than what I have spoken to you this morning. There is no other justice to the text of Scripture. Now, let me give you these few points of interest. I got just a few more minutes. On them, I actually got to it. Sudden destruction. That word means unexpected. That's what the word sudden. It doesn't have to do with just like that, although it happens like that. The word here sudden means unexpected. And that's the context, right? It's going to come upon them as woman. Now think of it. A woman in travail with a child. She knows something's going to happen. She knows she's going to give birth. There's a lot of people that knows judgment's coming. Right?
Yeah.
But they can't know the day and the hour.
Exactly.
And that woman, the only way we know it is try to induce labor. And you know what? That don't always work in a split second, does it?
Exactly.
You see, a person is going to be born when God Almighty determines for him to be born. Christ is going to return when God Almighty determined for him to return. And the whole point is, it's going to come on everybody but people who are believers already. Unexpectedly.
Yes, sir.
This word sudden destruction means unexpected ruin. Now I will give you the scriptures where this word for destruction is used. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Look at it yourself. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Look at it yourself. 1 Timothy 6:9. Look at it yourself. No place is it ever used of annihilation.
Exactly.
Now some people will die. But that's over a 7-year period according to what's in the book. Here's another point. Verse 4. Will that day come upon present believers but not overtake them? In other words, there are people who believe that the church, that believers now, will go through that time. Now, first of all, that is not what Paul says here. But here's the whole answer. Look at it. But let us... No, because it says this. Look at verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. So people read into that, well, it might. Well, it will if you think you're one of God's and you're not.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
That's the whole point. But look at what he said. The conclusion is this. But, verse 8. That's the conclusion of verse 4 all the way through 7. Everything he says from 4 through 7. But is a conclusion. It's a distinguishing conclusion. Them, they sleep. They're drunk, right? Look at what it says. But let us, who are of the day, let us be what? Sober.
Yes.
Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the what? The hope. Wait a minute, don't I have salvation already now? Yeah, I do. But I don't have this part of it yet.
Exactly.
I am not resurrected yet, because I'm not even dead yet, but the resurrection has not taken place for us yet. And some believers are still going to be alive. What about them? They're going to be immediately, instantaneously changed. That's the hope. The hope of salvation for. Why is this? Why should we hope for salvation? Something yet to come. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. And I know, see, people refuse to stay with context. And let me tell you, Earl Cochran was definitely right when he said a text. Without context is pretext. And you know what that means? Malarkey. That's what it is. That's a nice way of saying it. It's heresy. Heresy comes from the word opinion. It's man's opinion. Now, there's nothing wrong with a man preaching from any text and saying, now, I want to show how this could point this out. You understand what I'm saying? But every writer who wrote had certain specific things in mind with every word God moved him to write.
Yes, sir.
It's not up for interpretation. There is no private interpretation. Men of old spake as God's Spirit moved them to speak. For God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. And let me tell you, particular redemption deals with the coming of Christ as well. Does it not? Because he died for us to save us one day by gathering us together unto himself. And that's as much a part of the gospel as the rest of it. Isn't it? And the details are just as important as the rest of it. Now, but what if there are people who don't care? Yeah, look, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep. Because there are some believers who don't care about this. The details, do they? As long as the Lord comes, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Well, as long as the Lord regenerates me. Yeah, that's fine too. If he does, you'll be okay. Right? The word sleep here is not the same word used over in chapter 4. He uses the word sleep twice, and then once it's asleep, but it's of the same root word. In chapter 4, speaking about believers who are dead, who have died, but they rest in Christ. Here's the word. I'll try to pronounce it. Koimesis, which means repose, rest, sleep. That's what he uses in chapter 4. But when he gets to chapter 5 and talks about those who sleep in the night, he doesn't use that word. He uses a different word, which is kethiodou, which means sleep. There's 4 or 5 different Greek words that simply mean what? Sleep. Now the very fact, Mason, that Paul uses sleeping in Christ in one passage, in one statement, and then talks about people who are not in Christ sleeping, and he changes the word, lets us know that's for a reason, right? They're not sleeping like believers, dead believers who are sleeping.
Yeah.
What are they? These are people who are insensitive and indifferent.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the first mention of people who sleep, they're unregenerate. But let me tell you, even regenerate men sometimes can be indifferent and insensitive to spiritual truth. I say that I don't boast in that. I say that by experience. So that whether we wake or sleep. Right? David, there are some people that's just insensitive to the details of the coming of our Lord as they. They believe it. They know it's going to happen, but I don't need none of that. Just tell me about this right here. Right? That's sleeping. That's being indifferent and insensitive to God's word. Is it not? Can somebody say amen? It is. To not care about any part of God's word is to be indifferent and insensitive. And Laodicea was even what? Lukewarm. Kind of in the middle, Mason. And God said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. But, there are some. There are some. Think about this. Our salvation, all of it, rests on Christ's death in our stead.
Yes,
I'm still preaching to you the 5 points of Calvinism.
Exactly.
Because I'm still preaching to you particular, limited salvation.
Yes, sir.
Our salvation includes living together with Christ.
Amen.
We have that hope. And let me just tell you, God's salvation is not a 5-point salvation. Just being a Calvinist is not all there is to the truth of God's salvation. Why? Because this book says so. Doesn't it? Father, I pray that as we part and go our separate ways, that we may not see these things as some scare tactic, something frightful, but as your word says, as your apostle has told us twice, that we are to comfort one another with these words. We are to edify one another, build one another up with these things, knowing what is our future in Christ because of your free and reigning grace. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.